Welcome to Journal Club for December 5th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Dix. Let's say you're a software engineer somewhere in the world. You go to work every day, you do a good job, you spend time with your family, you hang out with your friends, you walk the dog, you pay your taxes, you live a peaceful and productive life. Except for this one thing. You're a spy. That country you live in, let's call it country A, you're not loyal to them. You're loyal to country B. Maybe B is an ally of A, maybe B is an enemy, doesn't really matter. You live your life in country A for a reason. To exfiltrate data out of country A and send it to country B. You've got handlers, you've got contacts, you've got a mission, and you're following it. But there's a problem. Country A, your host country, is watching you very closely. They're monitoring your calls, your texts, your emails, your web searches, your Slack messages, your DMs, everything. Every packet that is sent or received from any of your devices is closely scrutinized. They don't necessarily know for sure that you're a spy, but they have a strong enough suspicion that they're surveilling you quite carefully. So now you are in the unenviable position of having a whole bunch of information that you've collected and very much need to send out to your handlers, but you don't have any way to send it. There are some covert tools you can use, but just the act of using them will be suspicious. So you don't need Telegram or Tor or SecureBox or Proton Mail. You need something that looks like you've got nothing to hide at all. Just a normal piece of equipment using a normal protocol that you can piggyback on to hide encrypted messages in plain sight. That's where this research paper comes in. Their implementation is complex and dense, so what I'm going to do here is actually walk through it twice. First at a high level, and then in detail. To keep this presentation relatively short, I'm not going to talk about how they built, tested, and evaluated the system for this episode. If you want those practical details, they're in the paper. Instead, I'm going to focus on the mechanism at play here. How exactly you can send information to another party while a man in the middle watches all of your data go by, but not raise any flags, not look like you're doing anything out of the ordinary, and keep it all secure. Okay. Here's the highest level, most abstract way to understand this. Your house is probably full of IoT devices. For a number of reasons, many of those devices are probably not keeping a persistent connection open with the remote server. They're not streaming data 24/7. Instead, many of them are consuming from and publishing to a queue, or more technically a pub/sub, like MQTT. The mechanism the authors develop allows you to piggyback on messages that your devices are publishing to queues. Your IoT devices are regularly sending lots of data. In this mechanism, they take one of your secret messages, split it into pieces, and then hide those pieces within the normal data that your devices are already sending. These disguised pieces are sent, as I said, over public channels. You're not making any attempt to hide them, but only someone with a secret key can identify and reassemble them to read the hidden message. You have a key, and your handler from country B has a key, but nobody else does. That's the high-level overview. So naturally, you might be wondering, how exactly do they hide or disguise those pieces, and how do they put them back together, etc.? To understand that, we gotta go deeper now. Okay, so you're the publisher, and your handler, or whoever you want to receive the message, is the subscriber. Assume for argument's sake that you two have identified some IoT device that you'll be able to get your hands on in that country that communicates over MQTT to a broker that country B can subscribe to. So when that IoT device publishes something, they'll see it. Before anything is sent, you two first need to have agreed on a key that only you two know. So in this scenario, this would have needed to happen before you ever got to country A. This happens way ahead of time. You also need to agree on a list of public MQTT brokers and topics to use for your communication. As a reminder, MQTT allows devices to send messages to a broker under certain topics, and other devices can subscribe to those topics to receive the messages. By using public brokers and topics, your communication will blend into normal network traffic, making it less likely to be detected as unusual. You need to choose topics that allow messages of varying sizes, avoiding topics where messages are always short and fixed in size. Using topics with variable message lengths helps conceal their secret communication because it prevents the eavesdropper from noticing any patterns that might indicate hidden messages. Okay, now you're in country A, going about your mission, and you have a secret message that you want to send to the subscriber. To prepare this message for transmission, you first need to generate several random messages. It could be any number of them. Let's say for this example, it's 10. If it's 10, then you'll generate 9 random strings that are all the same number of bits as your secret message. Then for the 10th one, rather than generate a random string, you'll generate the bitwise exclusive OR between the 9 random parts and the secret message that you're keeping. So you end up with 10 pieces, and you need all 10 to reconstruct the original message. You're not going to send the secret message at all, just those 10 pieces that let someone reconstruct the secret. But if you just send those 10 pieces as is, any eavesdropper could easily reconstruct the message, so you don't do that. This is where that agreed upon key comes in. You perform a mathematical operation called modular exponentiation on each of the 10 parts using the key. Modular exponentiation involves raising a number to a certain power, the exponent, and then finding the remainder when divided by another number, the modulus. This operation is commonly used in cryptography because it's easy to perform in one direction, but very difficult to reverse without knowing the exponent, which in this case is the key. After performing the modular exponentiation on each part, you still don't send the result directly. Instead, you send a random message whose length is equal to the length of the result of the modular exponentiation. This way, the messages sent over the network appear as random data, because they are, and their lengths vary, because those lengths really do vary. This makes it harder for an observer to detect any patterns or any hidden communication. The subscriber, who is the only other person who knows the key, receives all the messages published on the agreed-upon topics from the MQTT broker. To identify the hidden parts of the message, they attempt to reverse the process. For each received message, they consider all possible original parts that could have been used by the publisher. Since they know the key, they can perform the modular exponentiation on all possible values of the original parts of the appropriate length. They look for a match where the modular exponentiation of a potential part using the secret key results in a length that matches the length of the received message. When they find such a match, they identify that part as one of the pieces of the hidden message. Once the subscriber has identified all the parts of the message, they use the exclusive OR operation to recombine them. By applying exclusive OR to all the parts they've found, they retrieve the original secret message sent by the publisher. In case I lost you on that last paragraph, the important thing to know is just that having the key and a finite set of possibilities allows the subscriber to decode the message in a reasonable amount of time. This method is secure against unauthorized parties because without the secret key, an eavesdropper cannot feasibly reverse the modular exponentiation to find the original parts. The computational effort required to try all possible combinations without the key is prohibitively large, making it impractical for someone without the key to reconstruct the secret message. And that's it. You have successfully completed treason, or whatever other thing is that you're doing. So, normally I don't have to add this disclaimer to episodes, but just to be clear here, don't do any of this. Don't be a spy. Don't break laws. Please. If you feel like you're ready to dive deeper than we went today, and to take a look at the actual algorithms and the procedures that the authors came up with, I'd recommend that you download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.